Father, please uphold me that I may uplift you, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, today we come to the third in this series of sermons on the appearances of Jesus during the 40 days following his resurrection from the dead. On Easter Day, you would have read how he appeared to Mary Magdalene near the empty tomb early in the morning of that first Easter Sunday. Last week, we read how he appeared later on, in the same afternoon of that day, to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Today, we just heard how Jesus appeared yet again in the evening of that first Easter Sunday. But this time it was not only to one or two individuals, but to a whole group of disciples. Now, just how many were in that group, we're not sure. Luke tells us in his gospel that it was the 11, because of course Judas Iscariot was no longer with them, it was the 11 and those with them. So your guess is as good as mine how many there were. John simply says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So, those disciples, they were gathered together just 2 days after watching the Roman soldiers crucify their beloved leader. There was no doubt in their minds that Jesus really had died. They'd seen the Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side to make sure he was dead before they removed him from the cross. They'd watched Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus lay his body in the temporary tomb where it would remain during the Jewish Sabbath, which began at sunset on Friday evening. And now it was Sunday. The women had gone to the tomb first thing in the morning to prepare Jesus' body for its proper burial. The body was nowhere to be found. The little band of disciples huddled together in that room, they were baffled. They were frightened. They got the doors locked because they were afraid that the Jewish religious authorities would come after them and hand them over to the Romans as they'd done with Jesus. They were in turmoil. They were all churned up inside, wondering what to do next. Where should they go from here? And suddenly Jesus was standing in their midst, even though the doors were still locked. At first they were terrified, thinking they were seeing a ghost. Now, John doesn't tell us that in his gospel, but Luke does. Luke also tells us how Jesus asked if they had anything to eat, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish to eat so that he could prove he wasn't a disembodied spirit, he wasn't an apparition, he wasn't a ghost. It really was Jesus himself, alive and well again, with a real flesh and blood body. Well, John doesn't tell us the stuff about the broiled fish and so on, but he simply tells us that Jesus stood there and said, "Peace be with you." Showed them his hands and side, and almost instantly the disciples were at peace. They were full of joy and gladness. And presumably they were ready to get on with life once more and to face whatever might lie ahead. So what was it that caused this sudden change in the disciples? Well, obviously, it was the fact that the risen Lord Jesus had come into the situation. That's what made the difference. Jesus had come into the midst. So now a little story. As some of you know, I worked in the paper industry before I was ordained. And like many large organisations, the company I worked for used to have periodic changes of management. And it was during one of those changes that I dropped a real clanger. What I did doesn't really matter. Suffice it to say that I opened my mouth when I would have been better advised to keep it shut. The result was that within hours of settling into his office, the new manager had me up on his carpet and in no uncertain terms told me what he thought of me. And what made it even worse, and bear in mind in those days I was fairly ambitious, I wanted to get on, I was anxious to impress the new management, and so what made things worse was when he said, "They told me about you before I came here. And this incident just about confirms everything they said." So you can imagine how I felt when I slunk away from that man's office. Yes, I felt angry and humiliated, but I also felt sick, anxious, churned up inside. I felt as if I'd had my chance and blown it. I felt beaten and defeated. And I went back to my own office and shut the door and wondered what I was going to do. I resolved to order the Daily Telegraph and the Paper Trade Review and start scanning the job adverts. I could forget any idea of progressing in that company. Well, how long I felt like that, I don't know, but actually it wasn't long at all. It was only a day or two at the most. And just when things seemed at their blackest, a still, small voice spoke to me. I didn't actually hear anything. It was more as if a thought came into my mind. And a friend of ours at that time used to have a phrase that I think sums it up beautifully, and he used to say it quite often. "The Lord dropped a word into my spirit. The Lord dropped a word into my spirit." And what the Lord said to me was this: "Why are you fussing and worrying? Why are you thinking of leaving? Don't you realize who the real boss around here is? Don't you realize who's really in charge? If I want to promote you, I won't let your past mistakes or your reputation or anybody else stop me from doing it." And in that instant, things just came into their proper perspective. My fear, my anxiety, my misery, my feeling of hopelessness just melted away. And in their place came peace and joy and hope and confidence. And the sequel to that story is that within a few months I was promoted to technical manager, and I'd hardly worn that chair before I was asked to take on a production department. And in addition, I went on to enjoy an extremely good working relationship with that boss whom I thought had turned against me for life. The disciples were gathered together behind locked doors for fear of the Jewish authorities. They'd blown it. Their leader had been crucified. The authorities were out to get them, or so they assumed. So you can imagine their fear, their anxiety, their misery, their hopelessness. And Jesus came into their midst and said simply, "Peace be with you," showed them his hands and his side, and the realization dawned. God had everything under control. The God who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, the God who parted the Red Sea to let the Israelites through when Pharaoh thought he'd got them cornered, the God of whom Jeremiah said, and it's Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, "Nothing is too difficult for thee." Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. That God had now raised Jesus from the dead. And that God was on their side. That God was on their side. If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul wrote, Romans 8, verse 31. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man doeth unto me." Psalm 118, verse 6. Jesus showed them his hands and his side. If you ever doubt that God is on your side, think about the events of Good Friday. Look at his hands and his side. There is the proof. God is on your side. If you ever doubt that God is able to rescue you or deliver you from any situation, whether it be a situation of your own making, or a plot by your enemies, or even by the powers of darkness themselves to bring you down, think of the events of that first Easter day and look at the risen Lord Jesus. There is the proof that nothing, not even death, is too difficult for God to overcome. Nothing is too difficult for him. And as you meditate on these things, may the realization dawn on you that God really is in control and he really is on your side. And may this realization fill you with joy. Amen.